Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not enjoying the ghost stories here on this show, be sure to check out our true crime podcast called True Crime Today. Search it wherever you download podcasts. Myself, Carol Hughes, Stacy Cole, all discuss the latest in many true crime stories, dark, disturbing, and sometimes just plain crazy. Check it out, True Crime Today. Search and press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Here's a preview of one of this week's episodes of True Crime Today. Teen found dead at Colorado Springs Walgreens, allegedly had concerns the suspect was following her since the previous year. A woman tortured, held against her will for months by a Chino Hills man, authorities say. And police arrest a man accused of fatally shooting a 9-year-old and injuring her mother. Those stories and more today on True Crime Today.
This is True Crime Today.
Not only a tragedy for the family.
It's unfathomable.
Shot to death more than half a dozen times, likely with a shotgun by his own mother.
True Crime Today.
Say he then drove her body in her van about 5 miles away.
Police say she put her newborn in a trash bag and threw the baby over an upstairs banister.
A podcast that examines real stories in real time.
Disturbing.
He says she asked him to help her end her life.
True Crime Today. Starts now.
That indeed it does. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of True Crime Today. And be sure to leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that. It's Tony and Stacy Cole with you on today's episode. And I am like Edward Scissorhands today with this. I'm in an arm brace over here.
Yeah, you had a little bit of stuff done.
I did. I wanted to get an arm lift and fake biceps put in. So
How'd that work out for you?
I was going for Popeye. So I just have one arm. I just did my left arm. And I have this bulging bicep now. I even got a big tattoo on it that says mom. And I put a big heart around it. It's great. It's healing up, though. So the thing is, in today's world, someone will be like, oh, yeah, my cousin did that one bicep thing the other day. They really enjoy that. So, no, that's not at all. But I did have to have my bicep repaired because I ripped it off.
Lifting
from the elbow.
Lifting too much? What were you doing?
Well, it depends who you've talked to and what location I've been at. Because I've had a really great time. Now that you wear this giant thing that kind of makes you look like a character from a Marvel movie. I've been saying different stories to different people. So it was a tragic cheetah accident earlier that was at, where was that? Oh, that was at the coffee store when there I was at the drive-thru. They're super friendly. They want to talk to you for like the 3 minutes it takes to make the coffee. And it was a tragic cheetah accident because I work at the zoo in Tulsa. And I was, and this is all bullshit, by the way. There's no cheetah accidents at the zoo in Tulsa, just for you morons. I was there, and I saw a small child fall into the tank, and I jumped in, and I whipped the child out with my arm, and as I did, the cheetah bit in, and nearly severed every muscle and vein in my arm, and then they reattached everything, and it was only a week ago, and look, I already have movement.
I think that's a great story. I think you should stick with that one.
That's just one.
I like that better than anything else.
That's just one. I continue to pull on my rich knowledge of doing this program for the last couple of years and all the horrible stories when coming up with reasons for this. So I had another one where my wife was fake kidnapped. And again, no wife at all. She was kidnapped and held at ransom and was branded. And then came back to me. And then she told the story. Then she lied about it. And she told me it was all made up and none of this actually happened. And it's a whole mess right now. What happened one night is when I called her out on it, she bit me.
I stand corrected. That's a better story.
Yeah.
I mean, like that one.
They just keep going and going. And I'm keeping him like kind of crazy, but never where like anyone would call the police on me. It's like, oh, I was out last night and we had to, you know, and we were out by Lake, whatever, Lake something around here. Really, I got to get some big stuff out of the trunk. You ever feel how heavy a body is?
Yes.
No, because there's license plates on my car and there's cameras everywhere and people are paranoid as shit or dumb as fuck. It's one of the two. And there's going to be things called on that. And then I'll have police at my door and they're like, where were you with this or that? And with my luck, somebody will actually find like a fucking body or something somewhere for some shit I made up. And it'll be like, no, it was just me. Satire was a joke. Then why is the body here? It's like, I have no fucking idea.
Yeah, you totally have to watch yourself, man.
I know. So, but it's been fun. I mean, I tell it's a joke. But the reactions and how long people will believe bullshit is really amusing.
It lends to the fact that you're a very good storyteller. So I think people just get sucked in because they're like, this guy knows some shit.
I don't know. I get it's kind of funny because a lot of the crazy ones, because I go to this place called Seven Brew in town and it's a drive-through coffee thing. And it's all college kids basically that work there because it's really close to campus and they're all super nice kids. But you tell it these stories to some of these girls and oh my God, I was always so intimidated by women when I was younger and I would be so shy to go to talk to anybody. If I only said one of these stories back then, I could have gone on so many dates.
But it takes time.
I was the nice guy. I was always just like, well, you know, and if I had like the personality I do today of just not giving a fuck. And I mean, in no way am I saying I'm trying to like hit on these girls cause I'm not, but what I'm saying is it's funny how, what kind of bullshit you can say for extended periods of time and you get these looks of absolute belief and I'm like, oh my God, how do you believe this? And you know,
it's because of the internet. There's so much shit out there
And age.
We've seen things that we never saw before.
Yeah. And you're right. There's that. I think there's age, there's sheltering, there's so many things I think that play into some of this. But I don't know, like, I'm so surprised, like, if someone was saying some of this, I mean, the crazy shit like that to me or any of the women I knew back when we were that age, I think they would have been, like, rolling their eyes very quickly.
They would have walked away from you.
Yeah, but they're
done.
They're intrigued.
It's like, yeah, tell me more. Like, this guy is so fascinating.
It was a leopard. They're like, really? A leopard? I'm like, yeah. I've worked with a lot of leopards in my life. They're just like,
and they freaking believe
it. They believe it. It's like, it's turning into a very interesting social experiment as I get coffee in the morning.
I'm a vet tech. I have never petted a leopard, a lion, a cheetah. I've been near them, but I've never had access to them. But you've got this beautiful story that everybody's like, oh my God.
Well,
it's crazy.
It's because I rescue baby leopards when their mothers left them. And
oh, see, that's how you do it.
You could peddle that story as well. No, I haven't peddled that one yet, but I think I should add that to this story.
Good Lord, man.
Because I start cracking up at usually like the second or first line because I'm amazed like anybody's even buying this. But I'm trying to extend it inch by inch every time I do it, like add another line to it and see if, you know, how long this can go. And it just keeps going. I always have to be the first one to say this is bullshit because they keep going and like, oh, really?
Really? Oh, well, I thought it was real.
All I got to say is my daughter's never going to fucking be like that, ever. She'll be the first to be like, what the fuck did you believe when he said that to you? She'll be the one that's like that to her girlfriends. And it's like, are you fucking crazy?
He's going to be a really good teacher for her friends and for any potential boyfriends she may have or girlfriends. I don't want to categorize, sure. But, you know, there, nobody's going to be able to pull the wool over her eyes.
No, and ever. I love that. And I was able to kind of teach her that without, you know, without her having to go through some sort of tragedy or something where it's like, and now let's recover or something. It's been, you know, just, we talk about it. We watch Dateline, you know, it's things like that, that kind of open up conversations as she gets older. And she's a lot, she's pretty confident, and she's, and not in a stupid way. She's confident because she knows a lot of her shit. And I couldn't be happier.
Yeah. You've exposed her to a lot. And I have a feeling some people, some Karens, mm-hmm. might say, ew, you shouldn't have done that. But I think you've made her a very wise and skeptical person. And I think a little bit of skepticism is a great thing.
I think our kids need a good, healthy dose of it. Yeah. I mean, they're exposed to a lot, but at the same time, they're not. So many are completely tuned out to what you and me may be looking at and going and thinking about. I mean, just talk to them half the time. They have no idea what the fuck's going on in the world, most of them.
Yeah.
Even though, and they have no concept of what we're like, how down the hill we're in right now, many of them. So no, I mean, it's good to, I think, have that. I did. And it was my mom's paranoia that I think drove a lot of it.
Paranoia really teaches you a lot. I mean, it scars you for life,
but
it also teaches you to always have that little red flag up.
Yeah.
And sometimes you are more ready for things than other people.
It's a blessing and a curse. It's initially a curse, but if you can learn to control it and understand, okay, where, you know, some of these, use the positives, but get rid of the negatives that you've been conditioned with, then I think it can make you a lot more aware.
Absolutely.
And probably more than others. But it's best to get that part under control, because until you do, it's fucking hell. That's what I kind of felt when I kind of realized that. Let's go to our first dark story of the day. A teen found dead at a Colorado Springs Walgreens allegedly had concerns about the suspect since last year.
Fucking hell. Can I just interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
So when I was, God, was I 16? I lived in Minneapolis. I worked at a drugstore. I worked in the pharmacy, and then I got into management. Mm-hmm. Kind of was climbing the ladder there just by accident because I could work a lot. There was this asshole stock boy. They called him stock boys. Mm-hmm. So basically, they were the grunts. They unpacked boxes. They swept the floors. They mopped at the end of the night. They would just do whatever.
Yeah.
And I think he had a crush on me, but he started to get really aggressive. Mm-hmm. When I got promoted to management, he got pissed because suddenly I was able to delegate things to him. And one night he was mopping, and it was just me, a cashier, and him that were left in the store. The pharmacist had left. And he came over to me and like was putting the mop handle between my legs and like trying to like threaten me. Mm-hmm. Like he wanted to do something to me.
Yeah.
And I'm only 4'9". I'm very small. Uh-huh. And I was very, very small then. And I remember getting away from him, and I was scared. There were no cell phones back then.
Yeah.
And I left a note for my manager that I needed to talk to her. And when I talked to her, she said, "Boys will be boys. He probably has a crush on you."
Oh, yes. Because simulating assault is usually the best way to say, "I like you."
Exactly. So when I read this story, I'm like, holy shit. So I'll let you continue on. But this hit me really hard.
Boys will be boys.
Yeah, boys will be boys.
You know, it makes you, I mean, you got to go, and it's no way an excuse, but you keep tracing and you go, how the fuck did this idiot think that this is the way to go? You know, that this is a good tactic. And you look back and it's probably dad, or lack thereof dad, and someone else. I mean, they learned it somewhere. And then the behavior, you just keep going back. And then you're like, oh, this is a fucking shit show, isn't it? Okay.
Well, and how does that equate to, oh, he has a crush on you? What?
Yes.
That's how you treat a woman that you have a crush on?
Well, you got to look at if the parents are married, it's got to be an insanely abusive, controlling relationship. And that's what, I mean, it's
what love is.
It's not hard to pick some of this shit out. I know. I think we make it very, well, why would they behave like this? How about you look over here at this? Look at the family life. See what's going on here. See what these personalities of these human beings are. And then, but we can't do that too much, because then, you know, we're infringing on people or this or that. It's like, look, if you're a fucking pressure cooker for psychopaths, maybe something should be done, you know? Maybe.
100%.
Okay, so this is the story. A teenager killed at Colorado Springs Walgreens allegedly expressed concerns for a year about the man accused in her death. According to arrest papers obtained by 11 News on Tuesday, the 16-year-old Riley Whitelaw told store managers in 2021 that coworker Joshua Johnson was making advances towards her and she was uncomfortable. A year after she first made the complaint, Riley was dead and 28-year-old Johnson was in custody on first-degree murder charges. Police tell 11 News they received a 911 call just before 7 on the evening of June 11th. The man on the line said a body had been found in the break room at the Walgreens on Centennial and Vindicator. Several police cars came speeding into the parking lot and looked out the window, which is right across. So they went inside, went in circles around the building, and then came out and they were there for hours, the neighbor says. According to the arrest affidavit, responding officers found a young woman on the floor with neck injuries and blood all over her room. Her ID badge and radio earpiece were lying near her feet. Officers observed no signs of life, the affidavit stated. The person who called 911 was identified as one of the managers in the store. He told police Riley had gone on break earlier in the afternoon and never returned. A manager said she checked the break room after viewing the surveillance and found Riley's body. A 16-year-old customer told police she was standing in the deodorant aisle when she heard a female screaming and the sound of stall doors slamming. Johnson was arrested by state troopers the following day, nearly 100 miles outside the city. He was covered in cuts and bruises when troopers spotted him on the side of the interstate Sunday morning. He told troopers he had been attacked at a Walgreens in Colorado Springs.
I bet he had.
Said Sergeant Troy Kessler with Colorado State Patrol. But when trooper... This is an insane human being. But when the troopers checked with the Colorado State Springs Police Department, they learned Johnson was actually the suspect in the incident. He was swiftly arrested and transported back to Colorado Springs, where he's being held without bond in El Paso County Jail. During a Mirandized interview, Johnson allegedly admitted to being in the break room and claimed he fell in the blood and went home to change his clothes. The affidavit states that Johnson denied stacking boxes in front of the camera, even when confronted that there was surveillance video showing him doing it.
That's not me.
He also allegedly acknowledged having a crush on Riley at one point, but claimed it was over. However, in their own interviews with police, one of the managers reportedly said Riley had asked for a different schedule as recently as several weeks ago to avoid working with Johnson. And another manager told officers Johnson showed signs of jealousy when Riley's boyfriend started working in the store in the spring. This remains an active investigation, and anyone with information on the case is urged. Well, okay, we got the guy. We see the incompetence of the store. I think it's a kind of open and shut case here. What more do we need? I don't think there's some conspiracy. I think we have the evidence. We know what's going on. It's on camera. The store fucked up, and there's crazy people that never have any consequences until they do crazy shit. You could look at this guy. If this fucking guy was walking down the street towards me, I would go to the other sidewalk.
I was just going to say I'd cross the street to get away from him.
Yeah, he has a psychopath look. I don't know.
Yes, he does.
I don't know how, you know, you describe it. I mean, the eyes are a little off. It's dead. He looks just like a fucking zombie. And it's not a drug thing. It's like this man has a real fucked up mental capacity. And this is how he thinks, and this is how he operates, and he's not going to.
I kind of want to go after the store manager, and that maybe it's just because this story hits me really hard.
Yeah,
the store's going to get this. It's too much. It's not going to haunt me at night, but it pissed me off when I read it because of my personal experience with it. I'm pissed at the manager. Fucking fire this asshole.
Oh, they're going to get the shit sued out of them. Don't worry about
that. Goddamn right.
They're not going to have a job and they're going to be sued heavily.
You have a responsibility as a manager when somebody comes to you and says, my job isn't working anymore, and it's because somebody else is threatening me. It's one thing to have a disagreement, but somebody is basically stalking me at work, and you just write it off for a fucking year and do nothing?
I think we had an experience exactly like that, where you came to
me. Tony, you think?
Yeah. and he was gone by the end of the day. And he,
thanks to you.
And he was actually both of our bosses. Because I was below him, but he was fired by the end of that day. We talked at lunch, and then he was gone.
Tony, that is one of the reasons that I've always known that you're my person. You've always had my back, because this asshole. Now we're switching to different stories, but we had a boss, mutual boss, that he had come into one of the production rooms and my bra strap was kind of hanging in a weird way, and he adjusted it for me. And that was the creepiest fucking thing I had ever had happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we started comparing stories that he was doing way worse to other people. And it all culminated in a big meeting. And you, I think because you being a guy and standing up and saying, this is wrong, this is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it changed. Otherwise, I think it would have been just a bunch of women whining that
I know
so-and-so touched us.
I started I started taking the stories down from everybody and making a document like a month before. And because they just kept coming in, and they would come to me because I know they couldn't go to him because he was the boss.
Yeah.
So I was writing everything down and waiting and waiting. And what it came down to was at the very last minute, because I was waiting and he needed to try and take some sort of action against somebody before I knew that they were going to do shit about him. And he was about to fire you. And
yes,
he came to me. He came to me we went to lunch together, and he's like, it's just not working out. And you're telling me the whole other side of the story where you're rejecting his advances. But he was dumb enough to keep telling me like, I think she's cute. And it's like, you idiot. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you that you think I'm going to be oh, good, cool. So he tells me all this shit and he's about to fire you. And by the way, number one fucking morning show in the market for ever. And everybody loves her and her co-host. And it was the perfect morning show. And but he wants to fire her because she's rejecting his advances.
So, yeah, because I won't sleep with them.
Yep. So I got the that was my final one. And I knew with this one, I could really go in. So I called HR right after lunch, and I ran home to my apartment up the road.
Yes.
And I grabbed my 3.5 disc that I had the document on, brought it down to the station, printed everything, and then got over to HR. And, I said, we need to have a meeting now, or you're going to have you don't want to have what you're going to have. And, they okay, we'll be there in about an hour. And then we had that kind of emergency meeting and they fired him pretty much on the spot.
But I really believe it's because of you being male. You stepped up, you did the right thing.
Yeah.
And you supported.
And it's bullshit that it had to be just me doing it. You know, I mean, I'm glad I did it, but yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think if you or anyone else at that point in time, would have, done any of the women, which was basically the whole fucking case. It would have been, because they liked him, and I don't know why they liked him.
It was awful.
It still baffles me to this day that anyone would like this man, but
he was smarmy.
Oh God. Yeah. I ran into him a couple years later. Did I ever tell you this story?
Oh God, no.
So I was, it was him. I was at St. Jude for the Radiothon and in Memphis, and I'm in an elevator and I look over, standing next to me with right in front of him. You can tell it's a 17, 18 year old intern from the radio station as his plus one is him.
No.
Yeah. It's him. And he's like, Hi, Tony. You know how he kind of has that, he's not looking directly at you because he can't.
Yes. I think he looks to the left.
Yeah. It's like, I think that, I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of someone's like debilitative disorder, disease. I don't even know what you call it.
No, but he deserves it.
But he has this and it just comes across creepy. And he's like, hey, I want you to know no hard feelings with everything that happened. You know, I realized, you know, you had to do what you had to do. And, I'm not mad. I'm like, okay. Oh
my God.
I'm like, okay, you fucking narcissist. No hard feelings. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Oh my God.
No hard feelings.
And I just looked him up online.
Yeah.
He's still out of radio. He's got a job.
He's still there. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's in management.
I know. I followed him around for a little bit. There was somebody I worked with somewhere else that had a connection with him that worked with him. And it was another story where creepy, 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 creepy. And then he gets canned. I think that was like in Florida or something he was at. And then he bounced around. He's still out there. I creepily look him up every now and then to see just how creepy he is today. Someone
it's
married
interesting
him.
Because it talks about, and I'm sorry for interrupting you. I just got like really excited. It talked about that he's worked all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's because
he has, because he keeps getting fired for trying to screw every woman he meets.
I know.
He's so disgusting. But again, but that was thankfully where we worked. Mm-hmm. They did the right thing. But again, I'm crediting you with doing the right thing so that they had to do the right thing. Otherwise, it probably just would have been, well, you know, just try not to engage with them. Just, you know, do your job. And then I would have been fired.
Exactly.
Because I turned him down.
Yeah. And they would have just gone with it, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. No, it's fucked up. I used that tactic again at my, it was the next station I worked at. But it wasn't, the guy wasn't sexually harassing people. He was getting prescription drugs from listeners. was then sending out just insane emails, like in the middle of the night to his staff, just ripping everybody apart. And they made like no sense and brought those to like our GM. They're like, well, you know. Some people have personality, like whatever.
There's something wrong there.
Then he comes into work one day, high as a kite on something, spills like a big slurp all, and Cumulus was the company. And at the time, they had just completely redid our studios, brand new, like $40,000 boards, all digital. Like they were like amazing. Ooh. This is back when they had money. Spills it all over the fucking board. Fries the thing. He was, I guess, incoherent on the air, and then they pulled him away. And then again, I was the second in charge. And so I go into the office and I got to go through the emails because I have to keep up with what's going on. And then I start discovering these emails about him and cancer patients that are listeners giving him drugs. And so I turned all that over, and he was gone pretty quick after that.
Wow.
But
thank goodness for you, seriously, because how many bullshit situations would have continued on if you hadn't stepped in?
That's crazy. No, this is why I don't work with anybody anymore.
you were my hero. I'm older than you, but you were the knight in shining armor that just stepped up and said, fuck this. This is wrong. We're fixing this.
It was the right thing to do. It's just what you do. I mean,
But people don't do that. People don't step up. And going back to the story at the Walgreens, how many coworkers saw this shit going on and didn't do a fucking thing? And probably out of fear, but you could have had repercussions, but you didn't care. You said, nope, we're dealing with this right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, you got to do it. You know, the thing, I mean, we're in an age now where I think these things would have been caught a lot quicker. But back then, that's really how it worked. It was a very systematic, you better have enough evidence or it's not going to be listened to.
Right.
You know, it was different, you know, back in our day. all of was 20 years ago or so when that was going on.
Yeah, it was.
Good times. Still creepy as ever. Let's see here. Let's do this one. This is a woman tortured, held against her will for months by a Chino Hills in a Chino Hills home. Authorities say, I think you sent me this one the other day.
Yeah.
A 59-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of kidnapping and torture after a woman told authorities she escaped his Chino Hills home, where she was held against her will for months, sheriff's officials said. The woman contacted deputies last Thursday around 7:21 p.m. and said she had managed to escape just minutes earlier from the residence in Chino Hills. San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department said in a statement, she said she had been tortured, physically assaulted, and raped by a man identified by authorities as Peter Anthony McGuire. Authorities say the victim had visible injuries consistent with the allegations made. McGuire allegedly held the woman at the home for months. Investigators say she moved in earlier this year. Very soon after moving in the house, she was not allowed to leave. She was held against her will by him, and at that point was subjected to multiple assaults. Said Maria Rodriguez, a spokesman for the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. We have charges of sodomy and oral copulation, mayhem, rape. The victim is in the hospital, officials say. She is in stable condition. Search warrant is served at the suspect's residence and evidence recovered, but McGuire had fled beforehand, authorities said. An arrest warrant was issued. Investigators said they tracked the suspect to a Placentia home where they served a search warrant on Sunday morning. After barricading himself inside, McGuire was taken into custody around 8:30 a.m. after surrendering. The front garage door was torn off after SWAT officers went into the home searching for the suspect. Neighbors in the area said the suspect lived there for years but hardly talked to anyone. Wonder why. McGuire faces numerous charges, including kidnapping, torture, mayhem, rape, false imprisonment, and assault with a deadly weapon. McGuire pled not guilty to all charges. He is being held without bail.
Jeez.
There you go.
Ugh.
Sounds like a lovely, lovely individual. Here's a little experiment I think would be interesting to try. The way the job market is right now with there is everybody needs a lot of entry level employees and even higher up, obviously. But you see entry level everywhere that is needed. And you fill out the little, you know, form where it's like, have you ever been convicted of a crime? Like what, if so, what charges, you know? What if you put in there kidnapping, torture, mayhem, rape, false imprisonment, and assault with a deadly weapon?
Well, it sounds like a skill set, doesn't it?
Go around, apply to like 10 places, and see who calls you back for an interview. I would be curious to see if anyone calls back and who it is. Where they're like, yeah, we'll take that. Because I would,
you know, I wonder, I don't want to name any businesses, but I could think of a few that would be like, well, you know, we need people.
Second, third, fourth. We're giving eighth chances now. We used to believe in second chances here at the, I'm not even going to like name a name because there's plenty I could guess that would do it. We're giving 88th chances now. And if it doesn't work out, there's always Target.
Oh, although, hopefully Target has better standards. I
completely agree.
But we know the other store that may not.
Yeah. I've been questioning that lately. I've been really shocked by some of the employees at that one. And I'm in the city where like they're headquartered, and in a lot of cases, like we have very nice ones, very nice Walmarts. There's been times lately where it's like, I can tell, like, you're kind of taking anybody with a pulse that's going to work because you need people.
I really want people to be given a chance, but I also feel like, you know, at some point you kind of blew it.
Well,
you know?
I think when you start taking anybody with a pulse, you go back to our first story. And you have a lot of those getting into the food chain of the workforce. And it's like, oh, gosh, you just put a piranha in here. Stop doing it. Like, there's another one. Oh, my God. There's like 20 piranhas in this tank. What have you done? And
that's exactly it.
And that's like in the past, they've been like, no, you're a fucking piranha. You're not coming in the tank. And it's like, well, we really need to fill this ship. Maybe just one piranha is OK. You know, and then suddenly,
Yeah.
And it's like, this is how this is going to work until eventually you have a tank of piranhas. That's all.
And then you scratch your head and go, how did this happen?
How did this happen? Where did everybody else? They ate the other ones and you just kept putting piranhas in because that's the only one that wouldn't eat the other one.
And that is why you work for yourself.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yes. Yes.
Fuck this, man. It's a scary world out there. It really is. It's hard enough to get along with coworkers, with managers, but then you throw a couple psychopaths into the mix, like you said, piranhas, and they're just swimming around looking to attack, basically.
And you can't, they don't do anything about it because again, it's like we don't want to get the skimmer in there right now. The skimmer's broke. We can't skim anybody out right now. So just avoid the piranha. It just got Larry in Delhi. Larry is gone because of the piranha. Like, oh my God, Sherry up there in Derry's gone too. Well, that piranha, it's very fast. It'll take up some of the slack, It'll be okay. Like, but it's fucking, and then, here's the deal. You know what? I know those two are gone. Here's what I can do. I can give you another fish. Great. It's another fucking piranha. And
that's
then
exactly it.
And then, five more are gone, but I give you two more piranhas. And then you used to have like 15 people that did a good job when the system worked. And then eventually you have like seven piranhas that can't cover everything. And they're just horrible. And your guests are like, what the fuck happened here? Yesterday I was in that very store and I was asking someone where I forgot what I was looking for, where greeting cards were. And he had earbuds in.
While working?
Yes, while working. There used to be like a certain decorum for what you wear to work or how you present yourself. It was called being professional. It was really kind of there in most places outside of shitty gas stations up until about 7-8 years ago. Then we just started saying, do whatever the fuck you want in like every place. And I kind of liked it where there was a level of professionalism. It just like do whatever the fuck you want in your own time. I don't care about that. But
while you're at work, you need to at least pretend to be professional.
Pretend that you look like you didn't just get out of bed after being complete. Or maybe you are still completely stoned and drunk. I really can't tell. And I don't know how to address you either. Where's the greeting cards? they're by the party stuff. But at first he had to hear me because he had the earbuds in. Greeting cards? What? Where are the greeting cards at? And he does the pull the earbud out and then sticks his ear towards me like I'm doing something wrong, like speak into my ear, sir. So I did, where are the greeting cards? This would usually be a pretty easy thing for anyone in the store, but like I think that's like in party supplies by like the balloons.
Thanks for your help.
And walks and then continues to walk away. Not like pointing, not like anything like, okay. I kind of can see where party supplies are. And I'm like, well, greeting cards are probably somewhere in that area. Nowhere near where he said, but I did find them. But yeah, this is what we have now. This is what we have. And I don't know what to make of it. And I don't know that I don't know that we're going back. I think we've gone off a bit of a cliff here. And
we have.
And this is this norm that we're liking to pretend is norm. Not so norm. I don't know. It's a good time. Good time for all. Let's see here. Police arrest man accused of fatally shooting a 9-year-old and injuring her mother. Again, this is another one where you kind of go, okay, we know what happened. We can pretty much this all proven. Can we just get rid of the human being? There's no reason to have this guy around. Police say suspect was out on bond for another violent crime. Yes. Okay. Well, that's good.
Shocking, isn't it?
Not at all, but we'll all pretend it is, and this stuff will just keep happening. The suspect accused of fatally shooting a 9-year-old girl and injuring her mother in the Heights on Monday night has been arrested, according to the Houston Police Department. The suspect, identified as 22-year-old Jeremiah Jones, was arrested Tuesday at 6 p.m. by HPD SWAT and tactical officers in a parking lot in the 22300 block of Imperial Valley Drive. He has a lovely mugshot if you want to look it up on the Houston Police Twitter account. Kind of got that defiant, I'm high as fuck, I'm a gangsta yo look.
Ew.
Going on. Officers responded to reports of a shooting at 404 Oxford Street around 9:54 p.m. when they arrived at the scene. Police say they learned that it was a domestic disturbance between a man and a woman. Police say the child, who was identified by her mother, Brittany Sorales, as Kylie Sorales, was shot in the head. Brittany was shot in the shoulder, according to the HPD. Both victims were taken to the hospital, where police say Kylie was pronounced dead. So what happened? This is, again, from Channel 2 in Houston. Sorelles reportedly had not seen Jones in a few weeks and had ended their relationship with the suspect 2 months ago. Court documents said Sorelles was in bed watching a movie with Kylie and her other children, ages 1 and 7, when Jones showed up to her apartment demanding that she give him a television he thought was his. He then ripped the TV off the wall, court documents allege. Sorelles said Jones demanded that she give him her phone and accused her of seeing another man. Sorelles said she gave Jones her phone and he walked to the back room. She then heard two gunshots and saw that Jones exited the bedroom, court documents said. HPDLT, Jones said, went into the room where the 9-year-old was and executed the child. The other children, who are of no relation to the suspect, were not harmed and were placed with family members. Since the relationship had ended between them, he was upset about it. I want our citizens to know we cannot and will not tolerate violence in our city. That's lovely, especially involving our young people. Let's make some fun statements, Houston Police Chief said. And then he has a long criminal history where you would be like, oh, I'm shocked he did this. He was out on bond for evading arrest. He's accused of violating a protective order Sorelles filed against him. And court documents said just last week he threatened to kill Sorelles with a gun. The suspect has an extensive criminal background stemming back to when he was 12, including theft, making terroristic threats, reckless driving. He's now facing capital murder and assault charges. I mean,
See, I feel like somebody like that, you cannot rehabilitate them. This is how they have been raised. This is how they're living their life. This is what they see as normal. I mean, we're talking 20 years of destruction.
Yeah.
I just, you know, at some point, I don't know that this, I mean, not that he was attacking people and killing people when he was 2, but for the majority of this man's life, this is the shit that he's been doing.
Yeah.
He knows nothing different.
I don't know what you do. I mean, this, and once you've done it, now we're going to spend a ton of money in court on him and like, just fucking kill him. Just fucking kill him.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think this needs to be reevaluated. I don't see the humanity in keeping someone like this alive. Why? What's the point?
For what purpose?
What purpose?
You know, after the money spent to keep him with a roof over his head in jail, food, medication.
I'd rather use that money.
It could be going to somebody that's going to contribute to society.
It could be going to our fucking school system and actually educating people and bringing people up and getting them out of these horrific family cycles where it's nothing but destruction after destruction after destruction. And it's never going to be fixed. But we're going to spend all the money in the world to fucking keep these pieces of shit alive. Why spend it on that? There's plenty of ways we could spend money. We're like, well, we're going to spend all this money. Put that into our fucking, like, if we could invest that shit into our world, into our country, into what we're doing and our society, we could maybe get this under control, but I don't know. I think there's going to be several generations that are going to be fighting off the one previous, because they're out of their fucking minds, because of the lack of all of that.
Well, and last week I toured a jail.
Ooh.
Very long story. I'd never been in a jail before.
Was this an active jail?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Was it like a haunted jail or something?
This was a real occupied.
I saw
the worst of Lincoln County.
Did you have to do Scared Straight? Where did someone say, look, Stacey, if you keep doing these bad things, this you were on the Maury show. That's what it was.
No, thank goodness.
Scared straight adults.
job shadowing for dispatch.
Okay.
And they decided to take me around the entire facility. Mm-hmm. And that included, let's go look at the jail. There are people that there is one chick. She was like in the jail was very nice. I mean, you could almost maybe reasonably stay there as a hotel. It was not nice, but it wasn't awful.
You could almost reasonably. So they're like, what are they like? Are they La Quinta quality, Days Inn quality,
yes, or
Motel
yes,
6
yes.
quality? Yeah.
But it was like a glass enclosure that this gal was in, and it's carpeted. There's a TV. There's a phone. Really? And I thought old adage, you know, you get the one phone call and that's it.
Yeah.
No, there's a phone in there. There's a phone. And she was like pacing the room like a caged lion. Mm-hmm. And the window is like bulletproof. I mean, it's super thick.
Yeah.
And it's tinted on the inside. So we can see in, but they can't see out. This woman like stopped at the glass, looked me in the eye and gave me the finger. And I am not joking. I was with the sheriff and I'm like, I think she's looking at me. And he goes, she shouldn't be able to see you. And I said, she is making eye contact with me.
That's spooky.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Been a week and I haven't forgotten about her. It was terrifying. There were rapists in there. There was a married couple. They were separated, male and female, that had killed their 18-month-old kid.
Oh my God.
I mean, there was the worst of the worst in there. And they're not... They're great in jail, I guess. I guess they are law abiding when they're in jail. You know, they'll do as they're told. But the minute they get out, boom, they're right back in again because they cannot exist out in our society.
Yeah.
You know, but they'll do what's required of them in jail. They'll mm-hmm. clean up. They'll, you know, they're model citizens in the jail.
Well, yeah.
They cannot get out.
That's the built-in narcissism with a lot of these people where
yeah.
they can be chameleons, you know, to manipulate other people. That's which is how they get to the horrible things that they do. And then, you know, when they get caught or they hit the wall, then they can learn to manipulate that system too, to get out of that until the system says there's no getting out anymore. You've gone too far. You've ruined too many lives. But
yeah, exactly.
Until then, it's just like, well, this is
game
clear.
On.
Yeah. It's just like, well, like, okay, we're having a race here. Well, these are clearly all slugs. Why do you want to run the race? Like, they finally get here and you just throw them back to the end of the line. Well, this is what we do. This is just how, like, the fuck are you doing? Yeah. It's insane. But hey, if we didn't have this, we wouldn't have a show.
That's true. So we need it.
We would have to talk about good shit. It'd be like, this week, a bunch of kittens were rescued from a flaming barn as they were also being attacked by rabid possums. Luckily, one man swung in with his truck, jumped onto the flaming hay bale, which could have collapsed at any time, as he swept the kittens up with his arm. He flung the other at the rabid raccoons as one latched onto his arm, biting him and giving him rabies. He ran out of the flaming barn with his shirt on fire, threw the kittens into a fluffy pile of cotton, which just happened to be there, where they could bounce around and play with bubbles, because there was a bubbles machine that was blowing bubbles as the man jumped into the pond with the raccoon, removing it from his arm, and then foaming at the mouth, running to the hospital on one leg. Yes, hopping on one leg to the hospital, getting the rabies vaccine and surviving. That's what happened to my arm.
How in the world are you not an author?
I am. I have a book. It's in bookstores. It's just not.
And you know what?
It's just not about that.
That sounded believable.
It is. It is believable. It is. It's real good. We give away the PDF copy to EPPs.
What?
Yes. Yes. It is. Well, the flaming thing is not believable, but yes, it's real ghost stories, haunting encounters told by real people. Ulysses Press. It's been out for a couple years.
And I should believe you on this.
Google it. It's on Amazon. Just search Tony. Okay. Search Tony Brusky. And I have two books actually. Out on Amazon. Yeah.
I'm looking you up, man.
Look me up. I have an author page. But I haven't done anything in a while. I don't have time. But I do want to do more writing. I think when my child is a little bit older.
And oh my God, you're not kidding.
No, I'm not.
See, I can't tell. You're such a good storyteller that I can't tell what's real and what's not.
You should be an author. I am.
Oh my God, Tony.
As my girlfriend would say, when like we have conversations like this, she's like, that would be neat. Like I did that. And she says, tone it down, Tony. I'm like, no.
No way.
No, it's real. Like, tone it down, Tony.
Wow. And the reviews are amazing.
Yeah, it was Amazon bestseller for a while when it was out, when it first came out in the like the horror category or whatever they call it over there. But
you are just an amazing guy. I can't get over this. I really thought you were bullshitting me just now.
No,
but no, no. You're, look at this go.
It's there. Wow. No, I want to do another because a lot of that book is filled with stories from stories from this show. And then I kind of do my thing at the beginning, my thoughts on it. I want to do another. I mean, it wouldn't be hard. I just need to like take the time to go through and do another volume of this. But yeah, at some point. It's wow. Not, I need another day in the week to get that done. But all right, there you go. And if you want to get that book, just search it up on Amazon. Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. Here's another one too that I gave my name to. It's old classic ghost stories that I curated from around the world. So it's not really my writing. It's just kind of a collection of stories, like really old classic stories. But it's interesting. It's got a big skull on the cover.
Yeah, it does.
Be sure to give us a review there on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe. Until next time, for Stacey Cole and all of us at True Crime Today, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.